morning cues, it's so much fun.
Hi, young fuckers, we're coming at you live from our brand new sound studio in beautiful downtown,
downtown Las Vegas.
Ugh. Do you know that's my least favorite city? Yeah, that's my least favorite city.
I think that's warranted. No offense to the people who live there.
Yeah.
It's a choice.
It is. And if you live there, I'm sure there's lovely parts of the living situation. I just mean like as a city, as a strip, as a downtown. No thanks.
Yeah, I actually was weirdly thinking about one of my recent, I mean, it's been years now, but like one of my last trips to Vegas. I was reminiscing in my head of show trips past to see my band.
Mm.
And there is something nice about the walkability of some of the areas,
mm-hmm.
you know, like a nice warm day and you can just walk around with your friends.
It just makes me sad. I can't explain it.
Atlantic City's
like
worse.
As soon as I get, oh my goodness.
Vegas is like a paradise in comparison.
I was in Atlantic City with my daughter for a soccer thing. And it was, wow.
Yeah, I was there this summer, and it was brutal.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I tried to go to the Rainforest Cafe, and they were all booked.
Really?
There wasn't even room at the bar. I was like, I just wanted to dine with the trees and reminisce on my childhood.
That's still a thing there?
Yes.
I thought they were all gone.
No, just the one by us closed years ago.
Huh.
There is one there. I think there are a few left. There's maybe one in, like, Tokyo or something random too.
Where we live is where I live, at least where you used to live, is like where franchises go to die.
We got a couple Cheesecake Factories and some P.F. Chang's.
Did P.F. Chang's make it?
I think so. I think it's at the blank mall.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So we are in New Digs. Don't know what the audio quality is like. We're much closer to the street. So you should get some, at some point, you'll get some ambient street noise, which is fine.
Or you won't, because I'm just that good of an editor.
Maybe less sirens. We had a lot of sirens by us.
We
were by a hospital.
I'm thinking more.
Really?
Yep.
There's a lot of siren activity over
here?
There's
a lot of siren activity.
Okay.
That's okay. This is an urban environment.
Yeah, we'll just be having more jokes about the police coming to get us, because you have to make the joke every time.
Yes, I do.
It's legal. It's the laws, rather.
You'll be able to see, I guess, when we record the next video, you'll be able to see kind of what it looks like. It's a cool little space. It's a very cool space. Sound treatments will come along. We'll see. We'll see. I don't know. For now, not so bad. Not as bad as I thought it was going to be. So hopefully Manny doesn't have to do too much to try and reduce the noise.
Wasn't too bad.
So anyway, we're here. It is preventing me. So here's what we have coming up. Tonight, after we're recording show notes, which should drop, actually this week it'll drop on Saturday.
Tonight is Thursday.
We are recording this on a Thursday, and tonight is our second monthly hang. It's the March monthly hang in April because of the move and because of all the things that we had to do to pack everything up and blah, blah, blah. But we're doing our monthly hang. So for those of you that are comrade and above, you will have already been with us and have seen this, and you'll have seen what the backdrop looks like and hung out with me and 99. And you will also know that our very special guest was Nathan Robinson, and he's the coolest. I can't say how it went because it hasn't happened yet, but by the time you hear this, it will have happened. And it was just very cool of him to agree to be on the show.
I can surmise that he will pontificate and
it will be delightful.
Yes. Those are
positively delightful.
Those are Nathan's attributes.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's cool. And of course, it is a member-only hang that we do. If you would like to become a member, this is the perfect time to do it because we're in the middle of our spring fund, friend, and Hellraiser period. So if you have yet to take out a membership, we would encourage you to please, please do so now. We have a brand new membership interface. If you go to unftr.com, you'll see the memberships tab. All you have to do is go in there, give us your credit card information, your social security, your date of birth, any password useful information like, your first pet's name, the street
address,
you grew up on.
Your first grade teacher's name,
your
last
mother's,
name.
Mother's maiden name.
Favorite band.
Favorite band. Best childhood friend,
yes,
right?
Yes, I think those are all.
So if you could give us that. Your current street address, any last known addresses that you have so we can just make sure that we fully steal your identity when you do this. If you're so inclined, your bank account and your ABA, your routing number, would be, I mean, tremendous. That would be great. And then we'll just siphon out your bank account, support the show, and continue to do it. So, yeah, thanks for that. We appreciate everything. I think if just one or two of you do all of that, we'll be fine.
Yeah.
Now, failing that, we need a whole bunch of you to just take out memberships. Now, isn't that easier? Right?
I think so.
I think that's so much easier.
I mean, I don't want to stop anyone from doing what their heart desires.
Of course.
We're here to encourage, to empower.
Yeah.
So if you want to give us all your information, please.
By all means.
Just do it.
It'll be safe.
It's okay.
We'll totally. We won't share it
with
anybody.
We have a firewall.
We do. Sort of. Sort of, kind of. Anyway, so we are in that period. So we've told you before, can't do this without the memberships. And as of right now, all of the things that we do between merchandise, coffee sales, and the memberships covers about 50% of the cost of the show. So we're trying to close that gap this year. If we get 100% of the show subsidized this year, then I think we'll know we're onto something. We'll be in really good shape. And what do I mean by that? It means all of the people associated with it, other than myself, and all of the costs associated with recording, distributing, rent, all of those things.
It means I can quit my job.
And, you know, you get to save 99's job.
Save my job.
That's
it. I
just put you on the chopping block.
I don't like that.
If it helps.
I don't even like it as a joke.
Okay.
I'm upset.
I'm sorry.
Don't do that to me.
Save her. Save her, unfuckers.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
I'm going to have nightmares.
So, yeah, we're in new digs. We're recording the monthly hang tonight. We're in the middle of our fund friend and Hellraiser period, and we need your support. Now, with that, we don't have a whole bunch of feedback this week, but the feedback that we have is great. And then 99 did a thing, and we'll get to that in a little bit. And she had a lot of fun putting some of the feedback
together.
I did.
That's what I was just laughing at, too, because we got a new one of the thing that I'm going to read, and it was worthwhile. So,
okay, great. Yeah. Super. Well, our first one is from Will. Hold for it. Watkins. Thank you for this week's episode on SPACs. I learned a great deal. Seems to me that these vehicles are another example of capitalism's fundamental ability to extract value from when or wherever it can and drive that value with breakneck speed straight into the hands of the already wealthy, connected, and powerful. This particular instance seems particularly egregious due to all of the really shady and corrupt characters that are spearheading the effort, not the least of whom is the former president. It is so galling to me that yet again, TFG. What is TFG? The fucking goat?
Thank fucking God.
This fucking guy. Oh, this fucking guy.
I actually think it's the former guy, but yeah, this fucking guy.
Seems to be able to find his way out of a tough spot that he got himself into due to his uncanny ability to find the cracks in the system of norms, mores, and laws, squeeze through them, and come out with the lightest dusting of grime on his shoulders to brush off. Thank you, Will. So, El former Presidente was able to make the bond, as we predicted when we put the SPAC episode together, because, well, they didn't say that he was able to raise the money from the fees that were associated with the SPAC hitting the NASDAQ. However, it is really obvious that it is, because we do know that it was an insurance company. Is a very wealthy dude, and I think he's from out west, who owns an insurance company that does essentially subprime auto loans. So real shitbag company, guy's a multi-millionaire, I believe a billionaire, if I'm not mistaken, or the company has a valuation of over $1 billion. And he agreed to facilitate the bond for Trump, but Trump collateralized it. He was going to collateralize it with a number of securities, because remember, he wasn't liquid enough to be able to post the bond, certainly for $450 million. But then he wound up being able to put together the $175 million for the bond. And the guy that posted the bond for him said that they collateralized it in cash. So that means that Trump basically had the cash to put to it. And we know that the only way he was able to raise that without selling assets was from taking the fees from the SPAC going public. So, yeah, he did it. And there's so many news stories now, like, oh, Trump's Truth Social stock plummeted after the news came out that it lost $58 million last year and only had $4 million in revenue. What I don't understand about that, and I think, did we put that in the member newsletter this week?
Yes.
What I don't understand about that is that the first nine months of 2023 were published. They had to publish that for the IPO. And it showed that they only did $3.3 million. What did people think happened in the fourth quarter with Truth Social? That it was a surprise to people that it only wound up doing $4 million for the year. And they had already lost $44 million through 9 months. And then people were surprised that they lost $50+ million. None of the fundamentals of Truth Social financially were going to change. So I don't know. The business channels, the news channels, all the hand wringing over it, like, oh my God, they only did $4 million. Yeah, we knew that. We fucking knew all of that. So it is a scam, and it remains a scam, and the valuation will stay up there because people are going to rise. So they actually had a penalty, by the way, for anybody that was going to short the stock. So there aren't as many shorts on it as, I guess there's a heavy, heavy fee associated with shorting the stock for some reason. And I don't understand that. Any unfuckers out there that work in the markets, if you can explain to me why shorting this particular stock would have heavier penalties than any other stock listed on the exchange, I would appreciate that. Anyway, so some people were smart enough to, you know, to put a short on it because they knew that the value of it was going to go down and it would crater after it initially opened and the buzz wore off. But I think that people are going to hold this for the long term like they did with gambling. I mean, there's still people that hold GameStop, and it's the same type of thing. It's just there is no there, and people are going to continue to hold it. Anyway, thank you, Will Watkins, for writing in, and I hope everybody else enjoyed that episode.
I am William Mama.
Now onto some general feedback we heard from Drew J. I couldn't say the word accessibility. I kept saying accessibility.
Oh, dear.
I couldn't say it. It was like accessibility. So I think something's happening. Okay. Drew J. said, I've been a listener since day one and a subscriber since you came out with your subscription model. As someone with a formal background in finance and economics and an overall social democratic progressive worldview, I have agreed with literally every position taken on this podcast, and I've learned a great deal. That is, with the glaring exception of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, complete with genocide, theft of children, crimes against humanity, mass rape, mass torture, and the deliberate targeting of civilians. Then a little later on in the email, Drew says, Ukraine is a nation of brave, proud people standing up against the other remaining empire and resisting a war of conquest and destruction. Putin and Russia have stated repeatedly and unequivocally that the Ukrainian people and culture do not even exist and are just misguided, wayward Russians who need to be subjugated and re-educated. To basically ignore this major conflict, at least up to January where I'm at in the podcast queue, and only hand wave it away quickly when you do mention it, just as another cynical American proxy war, is to do yourself and your audience a great disservice.
So this is interesting because I think we're on the same page here, but I have not covered it to the extent that I covered Palestine for sure. And so Drew, just so you know, in the beginning, when the war first broke out, I took a lot of heat for basically saying that to the extent that the U.S. played a role in fomenting this conflict, it was our insistence that NATO continue as a wartime operation. And going a little bit back through history to talk about the missteps along the way and how NATO was supposed to have been phased out, and then it was reinvigorated in the 90s. And then we started adding new members to NATO. When we had an opportunity during and post Glasnost to be able to kind of incorporate what was left of the Soviet Union, the Russian states that were just emerging from the darkness, essentially, to be able to incorporate them with proper bilateral trade agreements, facilitating kind of legal infrastructures and protecting intellectual property, demilitarizing, going through, continually revising the nuclear proliferation treaties and things like that. And instead, we just allowed it to become this like anarchic capitalist gangster economy that was run by oligarchs and then obviously paved the way eventually for the ultimate oligarch to take over in Vladimir Putin. So many missteps and so many missed opportunities along the way, and more missteps during the Obama administration, obviously when they annexed Crimea. And then when I initially spoke out against kind of our role in the whole thing, just coming at it purely from through an American lens about what we did wrong all along the way that led to this. We did criticize Russia, I think, pretty vocally. And we got a lot of criticism on that because this was in the very, very early stages and there was a lot of feedback. I remember Obese Andy was just going nuts on us because
I think he thought you were a plant.
Yeah. And then the whole thing sort of twisted. The narrative got so twisted, especially on the right, in a way that I still haven't been able to unpack, because the right split on this because you had the libertarian wing of the party basically saying, fuck everybody, just stay out of it. And that's where the Tucker Carlson wing of the party kind of wound up. And then you have the normal conservative, normal as if there's a normal conservative in this country anymore, but sort of the the steadfast conservative wing of the party saying that, you know, we needed to fund Ukraine, which pretty much lined up with the Democratic narrative. But because it lined up with the Democratic narrative, it started to blow back within conservative circles. And the conservatives made a mess of this whole thing. My issue with Ukraine from the beginning was that we did not spearhead a diplomatic resolution to the conflict. And
not your issue with Ukraine, like the country.
Correct.
With the conflict.
With the conflict.
I just wanted to clarify.
So I do believe in Ukrainian independence because it's a independent territory. And I think what Putin's doing is barbaric. It's disgusting. And he's a psychopath and a war criminal. And I think we know this about him. He's just a murdering
thief. He knows that about him.
Yeah, he doesn't really hide that. The only time, well, I don't want to go into any of his justifications. There's no justification for what he did. My only reason for saying that America played a role in it is because we sort of created the path for somebody like Putin to take over. We helped facilitate the path for somebody like Putin to take over. We didn't do it unilaterally, but we were certainly the biggest player in it, right? So my issue from the beginning was that when I say that they're willing to fight to the last Ukrainian, and Drew actually mentions that, I didn't highlight that in here. Let me just look that. Your repeated phrase, we're willing to fight to the last Ukrainian, betrays a vast ignorance and misguided paternalistic worldview, wherein these brave people who are fighting and dying every day and begging for simply the means to defend themselves from annihilation somehow don't know what they're talking about. But you, Mr. American guy, thousands of miles away in safety and comfort, know better than them what is and isn't in their best interest. So the reason that I keep repeating that phrase is precisely because our establishment doesn't really care about the Ukrainian people and are probably tacitly in favor of Russians and Ukrainians bloodying and murdering one another because it weakens their respective states. Just being honest, I think that is the real politique view of the foreign policy establishment within the United States, which is the same, whether it's Democratic or it's Republican. It is the same foreign policy apparatus and establishment. There's been really no shift in that state of affairs. So my problem from the beginning is that there was no diplomatic effort for us to try and corner Russia, not through just the same old economic sanctions, which don't really work because it's a fossil-based economy and they're able to go to the markets and the black markets and work with all of the other independent nations that don't align with us economically and basically deal their oil on the open markets no matter what. They always find a way to do that. So I'm not talking about the normal economic sanctions. What I was talking about was enormous political pressure that brought to bear all of the international organizations against Russia in this time, where we should have been, instead of vilifying and demonizing Xi Jinping, we should have been going with Xi Jinping and all of the other leaders, certainly of the EU, And we probably could have convinced some of the Latin American leaders as well, and certainly some of the leaders on the African continent, to come together to really pigeonhole Vladimir Putin and call for an end to the conflict immediately and way before this. Instead, we have multiple resolutions, funding resolutions, to simply send funds and arms to keep the war going, but not just enough to keep it going, but not enough to win it. So that's my stance. That's where I kind of sit on the whole thing, that we have no diplomatic core within the foreign policy establishment inside the United States, and we've lost any sort of credibility on the international stage when it comes to throwing our weight around with the United Nations and with all the various treaties that we belong to and all the trade organizations that we belong to, because we could siphon them off. If we all work together, we could siphon them off. But the willingness isn't there, because a weak Russia benefits us, at least in the minds of the, you know, sort of this classic neoliberal worldview that is still maintained within the policy establishment. So there you go. And we do have some beer news, by the way.
I was going to ask, though, I mean, do you think it deserves an unfucking the same way that we unfucked the Israeli-Palestinian conflict or war or genocide? Take your pick of word.
Yes.
Put you on the spot.
No, as it stands, personally, way more familiar and have read a lot more on the Middle East. The Middle East, Latin America, and obviously North America are the places that I've read the most about. If I have weaknesses in terms of foreign policy, it's probably in Asia and Greater Asia. So I don't really understand the history of Eastern Europe through the Cold War and post-Cold War. I've read a lot and I've researched a lot going through World War I and heading into World War II and the Depression era. But the 50 years that Eastern Europe was under Soviet control was largely a mystery. And a lot of the great academic research on it has come out over the last 20 years. And it's just not something that is in that I have like a good grasp of in my fingertips. So it would take me a lot longer to put something cogent together, whereas I have read a lot more on Middle Eastern conflicts. So it's really basically just a comfort thing. And the fact that this isn't a foreign policy podcast, and you know, I know more about socioeconomic issues and domestic policy than anything else. So I wouldn't feel as confident about putting something together. And there's always something that's like right in front of us that I'm trying to get to.
Yeah.
And so that's why I really haven't tackled it. But it's not for lack of caring, for sure. It's just more of a, you know, an expression of frustration that we just don't have the diplomatic strength and credibility on the world stage that we once did.
Yeah, maybe we add it to the phone a friend docket.
That's a great idea.
Just for Drew.
That's a great idea. I see you, Drew. We hear you. And thank you for the comment.
So now on to the beer news from Alex S. over at McFleshman's. McFleshman's has a podcast. So Alex said, this is a new podcast hosted by Everything Everywhere blogger phenom Gary Arndt. Arndt? I don't know how to say it. A-R-N-D-T.
Arndt.
About McFleshman's. It'll give you a great foundation for who we are and what we do. Also, a great break from all the heavy shit you guys are dealing with daily. So it's called Respecting the Beer.
Super cool.
Yeah, so we'll put a link to that in show notes.
All right, and it's all about our official, the UNFTR official brewery.
Yeah.
Love that. Thanks,
Alex.
I like
that we have official things.
We have an official band called Holdfast from Scranton. Isn't that right? Scranton?
No.
Am I fucking that up?
Harrisburg.
Isn't that all in the same type of kind of area of Pennsylvania?
What makes you think I know that?
I don't know. Am I just thinking of Dunder Mifflin?
Probably. Okay. I don't know. I know very little other than Philadelphia.
I had a cousin
Philadelphia.
That worked in the radio market in Scranton, so it's all kind of the same to me. Scranton, Lewisburg, is that? No, that's further in, right? Dude, Pennsylvania's fucking big.
Yeah.
So I took a trip across country with my old man.
Cute.
And he wanted to drive. There was no reason that we shouldn't fly. No reason not to fly.
Well, your road trips are the thing.
But it was super cool to do it. And did I say this, that I read The Fountainhead?
I'm sure you have told me, but.
So the first leg of the trip, he took the drive and I buried myself in Ayn Rand's The Fountainhead. I think I'm pretty well on the record about how much I dislike Ayn Rand.
We have a whole episode about it.
Right.
I think it's episode 8.
I do like to, I do like to digest.
Well, weren't you a young Republican at this time?
No, I was over that.
Okay. That phase?
I was over that phase, yeah. I was in my moderate. I was in my moderate phase.
Somehow worse.
I was moving like a glacier over to the left. Anyway, so I was actually engrossed in the book, and I will admit it. And we stopped. It was like 8 hours into the ride from New York, and we stopped at a rest stop. And I looked up, and I was like, "We're only in fucking Pittsburgh."
Pittsburgh is far.
So far.
Yeah, it's basically a different state.
It's like I felt like I started reading when we entered Pennsylvania, and I picked my head up and I was almost done with the book, and I was like, "Well, how the fuck are we only in Pittsburgh? This is absurd."
Because you can be in Pennsylvania, but basically still be in New Jersey. Yeah, so that's a short trip.
It's a mindfuck.
And then from there to there, it's
Yeah, it's a long ass state. People don't give it enough credit.
I think all states are just pretty big. I know that except Rhode Island,
Delaware, you can do in like Wayne's World.
Hey, hi, I'm in Delaware.
And then it's over. Just like, no.
I mean, I've seen it. I don't.
You haven't committed Wayne's World to memory?
I have not.
Interesting.
We're not worthy. I know that one, obviously. I know the, what do they spoof?
Everything.
Yeah, but they spoof like a theme. I don't know. They're walking around. They're at the factory. What classic TV show theme is that?
Laverne and Shirley.
Yeah. God. So.
I was having trouble pulling that out, too.
I kept thinking like Shirley, but then I couldn't. I couldn't put it together. My roommate does quote when I think it's in the second one, the graduate reference where he's going to get married and then he goes to the church and they're like, this is the first whatever church. And the second one's over there. She says that 3 times a week.
Really?
Yeah. That's, one of those things.
That's really a deep cut. From Wayne's World 2.
I think so.
Wow.
Yeah, but that's my Wayne's World knowledge.
Whatever happened to Tia Carrera? Wasn't that Tia Carrera?
I think she's still around. I feel like I actually saw something from her recently. She looks
really.
Great. I think so.
She does?
Yes.
What a fucking smoke show.
Yeah.
Anyway, what are we talking about?
I don't know, but I dropped the thing I was fidgeting with and I need it.
Oh, okay. Go for it. Oh, yeah. So we have an official band.
Okay.
And they're somewhere in Pennsylvania, not as far as Pittsburgh, and it might be Harrisburg.
It is Harrisburg. I'm almost positive.
And but how far is Scranton from Harrisburg? That's what we need to look up. We can probably Google it right now. Anyway, and we have an official brewery, and that is McFleshman's in Wisconsin.
We have official coffee.
Official coffee. It's our own. It's branded with the Pusatuck Reservation.
An official me.
We have our very own 99 and a 101 and 100, I think we said, too, right?
Yeah. And Henry. So,
No. Henry's.
Everyone accepts Henry except you, especially when you have one of the ugliest dogs on earth.
I did. That's dead. The ugly dog's dead. What are you talking about? The little one that I have now? He's not ugly.
Why? I can't believe you. That was the scariest moment of my life.
Oh, that you thought my dog died and I didn't tell you?
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. No.
You think he's cute? Because you said he was ugly from the day you got him. I think he's adorable.
He was a lot uglier when we got him. We cleaned him up a little bit.
No, he's adorable. He looks like a little gremlin. He's got alien feet. I love him so much. I wish he was here right now.
Oh, no, you don't.
Yes, I do.
No, he would. He'd be biting stuff. He'd be pissing over the new office.
Do you think I care?
I do.
I know, but I'm just saying.
He has such a shitty personality.
No, he doesn't. He's so loving and excitable.
He is loving and excitable.
He just wants to hang out, and he loves your other dog, and they cuddle, and it's the fucking cutest thing on earth.
I do.
And you like him.
I cuddle with him when my family's not around.
No, your wife showed me a video of you cuddling and playing with him, so I knew it was all an act. Yeah. I'm trying to look tough. But you have no grounds to make fun of Henry. He's just so beautiful.
Henry's not beautiful. Henry's very ugly, and you know it.
No, I don't.
Okay.
Sometimes he looks ugly, and we tell him, ooh, ugly. But, like, that's, like, when he stretches, and he does, like, his flat head, and he goes, like, and that's when he's ugly.
Mm.
But every other time, he's beautiful. That's my son. We were cuddling this morning. He was, like, laying in my arm like a little baby. It was so cute. I miss him already. He's just at home.
We have a question from Iceland. It's Iceland, right?
Yeah.
From Frund! I have a problem understanding. Is there a difference between asylum seekers and refugees?
I think this was a comment. I put it up in emails because I dedicated the YouTube section all to later. Hey. But yeah, this was on your migrant crisis video.
All refugees are asylum seekers. Asylum seekers are basically refugees in waiting. They're ones that have not had their cases officially adjudicated by whatever government they're seeking. So when somebody is leaving, and there's a difference between migrants, refugees, and asylum seekers.
That's what you should define this.
Asylum seekers are those that are looking to leave a dire situation and or persecution. And if they are accepted into the country that they're seeking asylum, they then are granted technical refugee status. So you're not a refugee until you actually land officially.
So it's a it's
more of a, yeah, so it's like an official status. Whereas migrants are people that are just looking to improve their situation. So migrant workers, for example, are not asylum seekers. And that's the difference of what's happening at the border. So when you see people that are coming from China or more stable parts of Latin America, like Mexico or Brazil, they're typically migrant crossings of people that are just looking to improve their status or maybe join family. In the olden days, before Bill Clinton fucked everything up, migrant workers frequently crossed back and forth, and they would do it, you know, during seasons, high points of, you know, when there was like a low point in a season, they'd come up and they would do part-time work, let's say in restaurants, a hospitality or what have you. Some of them are agriculture laborers, and they would go back and forth depending upon the seasons, and they'd follow the harvest. And they're a vital part of the agriculture economy. The people that you see streaming across the border right now that are coming up from, let's say, Ecuador, Honduras, Venezuela, not so much El Salvador anymore, as we know, but people coming from those areas or those that are making their way, the long, long journey across the ocean to Latin America and then crossing through the border below from, let's say, parts of war-torn Africa. Those people are asylum seekers who would then be granted refugee status. What's interesting about the temporary extensions, so we're this administration and previous administrations are operating on continual resolutions of temporary status. The big, what was the one under? Oh, I'm trying to remember the big influx under the Bush administration. But right now, Venezuela is the biggest crisis that we see. Although Honduras, Ecuador, they're not that far behind right now. But just in terms of sheer quantity, the numbers coming across from Venezuela are the largest. Those people are asylum seekers that have temporary designations as refugees. So they can be processed theoretically a lot faster because they have a special carve out from the Biden administration through executive order to process Venezuelan refugees faster, Venezuelan asylum seekers into refugees faster, which theoretically gets them temporary working papers a lot faster, and then would allow them to settle into the country and then apply for citizenship down the road. So when people talk about the path to citizenship, that's kind of what they're talking about, right? And I don't think that that's explained enough. So I'm glad that Harund asked that question, because these designations, we throw them around as if they're all the same. And they'll say, you know, migrants, asylum seekers, refugees, illegals, illegal immigrants, immigrants.
Yeah, what about the word immigrant? Do you become an immigrant after you've migrated?
Yes. Yes.
So that's the final stage?
And emigration is outflow.
Right.
When you leave the country. And that's why we spent so much time in our immigration episodes talking about net immigration into the country and net emigration, because people leave.
Expats.
Which is the thing that we never incorporate into it. It's like, you know, like if you talk about, and Marlene mentioned that in her interview, where she's like, by the way, there's so many Americans in Mexico City right now that it's a problem. And there's a huge backlash against Americans in Mexico City.
Well, the right loves to go like, well, if you don't like it here, where you go to, and yet, you know, they're telling us to leave.
Right.
But when people want to come here because they don't like their situations, that's not okay. So. Don't you just love that?
You know what's interesting is
what
I was talking to somebody that I love, and
okay, we're talking in a different tone of voice now. We're telling a story.
It's more of like an NPR story.
Okay.
So I was talking to somebody that I love, and we're talking about a podcast. So I got my dad into podcasts.
Okay,
I tried to get my dad into podcasts.
So is this the person you love?
Yeah,
we're just revealing it now.
Fuck it. And it's so interesting, the psychology of people. So one of the recent interviewees on Smartless, because I thought that was a really good entry point for him, right?
Okay, interesting.
Because we both love Jason Bateman.
Okay.
Unabashedly.
I don't think there's anything to be...
So if I was going to get him into... So now I'm trying to get him into the rewatchables, and I'm trying to find like a good sports one to get him into.
Make him right? You.
Well, I am him.
You want a friend.
I definitely want to be able to talk about stuff with him. He won't get on social media, so I can't share like social media posts. He won't even open them if we text them to him. So, but when we get him, like if we can get him to sit down and watch them, he just laughs his ass off. And I'm like, so just fucking get one or open them when... No, I won't open it when you send it. Anyway, so I mentioned that, Natalie Portman is on the latest Smartless this a few weeks ago. I said the connection was bad. You know, she moved to Paris, and right away I was like, oh. But if like you said that, like, oh, they moved to London or this person moved to Spain or whatever. But there's like something in people's minds, in like conservative American minds, about people that go to France. They're obviously taking a shit on the United States. Mm. You know, why don't you go to France? Blech. I don't know. I just thought that was interesting.
It is interesting. Yeah. I mean, I just know the stereotype that they don't like Jewish people there. So that's the only thing that would raise in my head. But
yep.
I know French people who don't hate Jewish people. So that's why I said stereotype.
That's right.
Just clarifying.
That's right. Another time, I'd love to talk to you about stereotypes. And I think we should do it on the mic.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which ones are true? Which ones are false? And which buckets we fall into?
Yeah, all of it.
Okay. What stereotypes do you fall into?
Well, like how it's acceptable to stereotype me as a basic white guy, right?
Because
power.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, exactly.
It's so punching up, not down.
Correct. But I really enjoy stereotypes. I think you know that about me. Not mean ones, fun ones.
I don't know where to go with this.
I know. That's why I want to talk to you about it and have a really uncomfortable conversation that you threaten to edit every other minute of.
I'm threatening to edit this now.
No.
In my head.
No, fun ones.
I just don't know where the line gets crossed of like French people hate Jews to all Jews are greedy and, you know, goblins. Where do we...
Jeez.
Well, if we keep a parallel,
you're right.
Where becomes acceptable?
Right. That's why I want to have the discussion.
I'm opening the door for you right now.
No, let's do it another time.
Why?
So I can
you need to get your argument.
Examples. No, a lot of examples, fun examples.
Oh, you have to look up stereotypes because you don't have any on hand.
Right.
You've never heard any.
No, I think you and I should spend the time to put lists together.
Oh, good. We should sit down and just list every stereotype known to man.
Acceptable stereotypes, fun stuff.
Acceptable stereotypes.
Yeah, fun stuff.
Dumb blonde.
Uh-huh.
Four eyes.
Mm-hmm. But if you say four eyes with a Chinese accent, not okay.
Is that a specific... What? Is that a thing?
It's like an old, like...
I've never heard
like
that.
Hollywood movie trope.
Oh, like, what's his face?
Like Peter Sellers doing Charlie Chan.
No, what's his name in the movie? Breakfast at Tiffany's?
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
I've never seen it. That's why I was asking the question. Sorry, I'm not... I know it's lame when I haven't seen things. I'm sorry.
I hate a Breakfast at Tiffany's.
And I said, what about... Breakfast at Tiffany's, you said, I think that I remember the film.
A young woman I was trying to date in high school.
You were the same age, just to clarify.
Mm-hmm.
I'm checking.
Yes.
You were, you were, you were, you were you
last year, this young woman in high school I was trying to date. Girl in high school I was trying to date, like forced me to watch Breakfast at Tiffany's, and I lost all interest in her after watching the movie, being like, if you love this so much, I can't do this.
Maybe she was just trying to be like, oh, this is what cultured people watch.
I don't think so.
Had that song come out yet?
Such a no, it hadn't. I know, that's how old I am.
I mean,
it was such a fucking bad movie. I just didn't enjoy.
Are you sure that song wasn't out yet?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Did you write it? Mm-hmm. Let's see.
And I said, what about, what year?
93.
Yeah. And so this was around, I can tell you exactly, this was 1988.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that George Peppard? Is that him in that movie?
I just told you I've never seen it. I can't tell you who sang the song.
Who?
You don't know?
I can't remember.
Deep Blue Something.
Yes. One hit wonder.
I had a whole, me and my roommate had an argument, I called it, I think it was a debate. She was said we were arguing. This is, I think, a difference of opinion of what conversations are. I was like, we're just volleying.
Right.
This doesn't mean we're arguing if we disagree. Like, we can have...
Yeah, we're just two people talking. We're just having a conversation, right?
Yeah. I think she just trauma from arguing with her brother.
Okay.
I can unveil that. Mm-hmm. I mean, everyone has trauma from arguing with their brother, except me, because I don't have one, but I'm sure I would if I did.
Okay.
But about what constitutes a one-hit wonder versus what's a band... Like, I was saying the Spin Doctors, I don't think they're a one-hit wonder.
They're not.
Exactly. So we were going back.
They had
going
more than
back,
one hit. There you go.
That's what I was saying. So, like, who decides what's a one-hit wonder? Because there are probably Deep Blue Something heads out there who love them and would be like, what do you mean? I'm trying to think of other ones. Like, who else did we
Dexy's
say?
Dexy's Midnight Runners. Come on, Eileen.
I mean, yeah. Who like?
There are a lot of Dexy heads out there.
Who's to say? And are we... Also, is the governing body, is it like cracked top 100? You know, is that what qualifies them? Because, you know, I think Semisonic, I think they have, I know more Semisonic songs than like their top songs. So
what's the one recognizable?
Closing Time.
Oh, yeah. They're a one hit wonder.
I don't think so. FNT, Fascinating New Thing.
What?
That's one of their songs. It's a great song. So is I'm like, it? Yes. I think you, I genuinely
sounds
think
like
you'd enjoy it.
Sounds like a deep cut B-side.
It's like, I'm surprised that you've never been told before. That you're lovely and you're perfect. And that somebody loves you. That's the chorus. Mm. I think you would like it. You like such dumb music sometimes, and you're so dismissive when I want to show you maybe something a little dumb.
I was only dismissive of Dawes, and then I came around.
Barely. You're still like, oh, blah, blah, blah. But you were so...
They're a really stupid
This
band.
Was like early...
But I do like a couple.
Early in our friendship.
Mm-hmm.
Look.
What?
I'm not a music expert by any means, but
you're
I
way,
have...
Way more than I am.
I have a diverse music interest.
You do.
And I pretty clearly could read your musical taste.
Yeah.
I mean, you have obviously outliers. Everyone does.
Sure.
But I heard when I started listening to Dawes, I knew. I was like, this is a Max band. I just knew it. And I played them for you and you were so mean about it.
Yeah, they were so bad.
You like them now. And they're not. They're a good band. They're a good band. Yes. Yes, they are.
They have two songs that I like.
If you gave them a chance, you would like all of them. I guarantee it. I saw them live this summer. They were incredible.
Yeah. Terrible. But, they have to have bad production.
Okay. I can give you that it's a little
but that's
muffled.
A choice. That's
yes,
a choice.
Exactly. Yeah. That I think that's their sonic choice.
Yes.
So.
Yes. Sonically, I want something different.
Richer.
I do. Yeah.
I can understand that.
Yeah.
Maybe they're live stuff. Maybe you should check it on YouTube.
Okay.
To see. But I really think you would like them. But
maybe
anyway.
I should nug it. I should nugs it.
Yes,
I
Max
about nugs today.
Max had an encounter with a jam band fan who must have seen the sticker for my band. I'm assuming how that came up on my computer. But, I mean,
it's not.
And were they wearing a shirt? Because
what?
Well, I meant like a shirt with the band they like.
No,
they're an Umphrey's fan. I'm sure other jam people know that.
No,
like which band that is. Then how did it come up?
I can't remember.
Were you like trying to sell me off? Like you want to get
because
with this girl?
Yeah, our decor.
Oh, okay. We have some records on the wall.
Yes.
So what did they say? Like,
and it started with Beastie Boys.
Interesting.
So the guy was a metalhead who then got into rap late 80s, early 90s. Beastie Boys bridged that gap.
Interesting.
It was the first thing to bridge the gap. And from there, his musical tastes have progressed to some of the jam band stuff. And then when you contextualized who?
Umphrey's McGee.
You said that's like jam bands for metalheads. And I was like, oh, well there you go.
Sorry to any of the Umphrey's fans. I think they know that. I said it in a slightly disparaging way. So
you did.
Getting ahead of it.
That's okay. All right.
They're not my favorite.
Wow, we're on massive tangents.
Well, I still just want to know who decides what a one-hit wonder is. I think we could have a whole... I'm sure Manny would have tons of input.
Well, that's interesting because, you know, because we don't live in the era of authorities anymore. Like Billboard, back in the day, Billboard would have put that out, or People Magazine might have put that, or Entertainment Weekly. They would have put it out.
80 of the best. Oh, like you mean the song or?
They would have put out like a list.
Yes.
Right. And then that would have gotten onto the Dick Clark's, you know, syndicated weekend show that got played on 700 radio stations across the country. And that type of like centralized authority, I think, would have determined that in the past. Now, I don't know.
Right. And
who the fuck knows?
What was I going to say?
I don't know.
I dropped my thing. I'm fidgeting.
What are you fidgeting with?
One of those like wiry thing, you know? What are those called? Like
no, I don't.
A cable tie.
Why?
Why? Because I'm fidgeting.
Do I need to take it away from you?
No. I just keep dropping it. I lost my train of thought. No, it was important.
Was it?
Old.
Central authority, top. Yes. Billboard 100.
Well, I was also thinking that people put out literal singles then. Shingles, did you hear that? People put out literal.
People had shingles back then.
They all had shingles. They put out, you know, they might have only actually put out one song. So they could have been a genuine, like, here's one great song.
So I feel like that happens more today.
I think
people release singles. Like back in, so I don't, in the record era.
I'm thinking of like a 45, maybe two songs.
So I feel like that ended, that's how the record industry really got its footing. But that had ended by the 70s. And then everything had to be album, and you had to be like brought through a system, and you had to, like, if you had a great song, they'd be like, great, where's the rest of the album? Hmm. And they'd send you off, or they'd pair you up with writers. And I feel like they got away from that. And that all for us to all come like full circle to that again.
Right.
Where independent artists have the ability to put out like one hit song.
So what I meant by that is maybe that's how it started. Maybe yeah. That's where the one hit wonder moniker came from, because, you know, what came to mind is
the Oneaters.
I mean, that's not what came to mind, but it should have. I was thinking Walk the Line, only because like when he went into the studio and he was like, we put out a single, period.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
Obviously Johnny Cash yeah. went on to make many amazing
What's your
songs.
Favorite biopic?
That thing you do.
It's not a biopic.
I know. What's my favorite?
Yeah. Because I think Walk the Line's kind of up there for me.
I have seen it a bunch of times.
I think if Baz Luhrmann hadn't fucked up this Elvis movie, that this fucking Elvis movie but would it be close for me.
Oh, my mom wanted to know if you've seen the Priscilla movie.
No, but I can't wait.
Okay.
Because it's Sofia Coppola.
She asked me specifically.
Did she like it?
No, I don't think she's seen it, but I think she was curious about watching it.
Yeah, but I want to see it.
Okay. What's my, I have to noodle on that and get back to you.
Okay.
I'm like trying to think if I watch any now that I'm thinking about it.
So.
Harry Potter, does that count?
Oh my God.
It's about his life.
I did like Hurricane, which Denzel plays Hurricane Carter.
Oh, I thought it was like the character in Bob Dylan's song Hurricane.
Yes.
Oh.
Nicely done.
That was a joke.
Look at that. It was like a 32-minute song.
8 minutes.
Think of song.
Does he say the N-word? Yes.
Back when I was in radio, we'd call those shit songs.
Shit, so like you could go take a shit during them?
The DJ could go take a shit.
Mm, that's smart.
Yeah.
We call them when we go to see like... you know, I mean, this crazy thing we do when we go see music is we have a bathroom song. So like there's a song that you always pee during. Same vibe. I have a playlist of songs that are like 8 minutes long and I call them traffic jams.
Ooh,
So it's I came up with it. I didn't even think about the double meaning because it's a jam because it's a long song.
Mm-hmm.
But also it's specifically for when you're stuck in traffic. So it's like, you got 40 minutes left of that drive and your eyes are bleeding and you want to get home so bad. So you put on the traffic jams playlist.
Yep.
You got 4 songs and you're home.
Yeah, that's smart.
Yeah. So
that's like it's a psychological trick.
Yeah.
I like it.
The Swifties will be like, this is 4 10-minute All Too Wells.
I see.
Yeah.
So I have my back to back 8-minuters.
Paradise.
The End by
your
the
favorite,
Doors, my favorite song. And Englewood by the Bogmen.
Okay.
Those are my 2 8-minuters.
Okay.
But I don't know if I can...
Let me see what's on my list. And then we'll get back on track. I should add Hurricane to it because I don't think it's on there. All right. We've got All Too Well 10-minute version. Paradise by the Dashboard Light. Terrapin Station Medley by The Dead.
Hmm.
Fuego by Phish. Pyramids by Frank Ocean. American Pie.
Oh, wow.
Life's Been Good by Joe Walsh.
Okay.
And Scenes from an Italian Restaurant.
Brilliant.
So they're about like 7 to 10+ is
I'll add Brothers in Arms by Dire Straits into my 8 minutes. Mine is very, very somber. Each one of mine is very, very somber. But that's the only music I listen to.
You know, the 30 minutes before you die
yes,
playlist.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, wait, I have to add Hurricane Right Well because otherwise I'll forget. Do you think he'll ever release this version where he doesn't say the N-word? Isn't that crazy? Isn't it bananas, excuse me? And he just says it. And sometimes I'll be out.
Hey,
and
I want to talk to you about crazy.
The word?
Yeah. I think you can say, that's crazy, but not say, you're crazy. Like saying, I don't think we need to eliminate crazy. It's crazy or it's nuts. It's bananas. We're not personalizing it, right?
I think it's a preference. I think if someone doesn't like the use of the word, they might not like the use of the word at all. So I think it's a personal decision you make about language, you know, because in that language, you could say like, well, if I'm saying something is the R word, I'm not calling a person the R word. I'm saying like this situation is R word. That's still saying using the word. So I think
I don't know which word you're talking about.
I'm not going to say it.
Do it.
OK, I'll say it.
Ridiculous.
Redhead. That was the first R head.
Well, that's another one I had to get rid of. Redheaded stepchild.
I'm going to call them R heads.
Oh, there you go.
Just said it by accident. Well,
such an R head.
I know that's bad.
Don't be R headed.
And I mean redheaded. That was genuinely, I did not mean to say R head. Oh, God. Can you guys tell it's 5:24?
That's all right. We got a big show tonight. We got all the silliness. All right. So that's the difference between refugees and asylum seekers.
Yeah. Who's a one-hit wonder? My document got lost. Oh, I'm going to laugh the rest of the day.
The next is from our buddy.
Nathan S. wrote in. So Max included an article about a amusement park called Morgan's Wonderland. So Nathan said, I was so excited to see you write about Morgan's Wonderland today. As you know, I live in the Texas area. All three of my kids throughout their high school years donated hundreds of hours of time to work on the Morgan's Wonderland grounds through volunteer work with the clubs they run. I've been so proud of their passion for Morgan's Wonderland and was excited to show the family that made it into your newsletter. So they had opened up or reopened as an accessible theme park, which wheelchair accessible, which is really amazing because those are the things you don't think
and
about.
And auditory issues. So they don't, a lot of the loud sounds that are normally associated with it, they don't have a lot of the loud booms and music and like you won't see fireworks shows there or stuff like that. So they have a lot for those type of sensitivities as well, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Super cool. On Facebook.
This is from Ahsoke.
Ahsoke.
Yeah. Shared this meme that I laughed really hard at.
Go ahead.
It said, Noam Chomsky is a crazy name. Like you sound hungry as fuck.
Noam. Noam Chomsky.
It's one of those things that really got a rise out of me.
And then April said, I usually listen and learn in the shadows and don't have much to contribute to the conversation, except very occasionally in the Unfuckers at All Facebook group. But I just had to say how much I enjoyed your SPAC anecdote. Max, I grew up in the Adirondacks, so SPAC, the venue, will always hold a special place in my heart. I really like the Adirondacks. So I would go, my wife and I have a very, very good relationship. One of the areas that we differ is where we would like to finish our lives. I would like to be alone with her in a cabin in the Adirondacks with a big wood-burning fireplace and nobody around for miles and miles and miles, surrounded by books.
Unabomber Corps.
No, like a really nice cabin.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's a house.
A log cabin.
You get to... No,
a log cabin house, yeah.
That's a house. You get to... It's like glamping versus camping.
Yeah, of course. Okay, yeah.
So you want to live in a house.
A log cabin house.
Okay, sure.
That's important. Yeah, it's a house. I'm saying I'd love it to be nice.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be like Jesse Pinkman nice. Have you ever seen, what's his name in real life?
Aaron Paul.
Aaron Paul's house. You ever watch those celebrity like
Cribs?
What do they call it? Not Cribs, but like, is Vanity Fair, is it?
I think so, like the 100 questions. No, they're so cringy, I can't make it through it. It's like, what do you eat for breakfast? And it's like, food.
It's not that, it's the tour, the house
That's
tours.
What they do, they ask questions and walk through their houses. Are they, it's not, do they have two separate series?
It's got to be different.
Maybe. I don't watch them, so I can't.
The cringe part of it is when they open the door at the beginning. They're like, hey, welcome.
Yeah, very Cribs.
But yeah, Aaron Paul's house.
Do they use the black light like they do in Cribs?
No.
They should.
No, they do not. Is the coolest house. So look that episode up because his house is like, so if we ever sell Unfucking the Republic for like $1 billion, because now we know it's worth $1 billion.
Yes. You can value anything.
Since Trump's Truth Social is worth 7, then, you know, we could probably fetch $1 billion, I would say,
I
right?
I think so.
So if we sell Unfucking the Republic for $1 billion, I'm going to try to get Jesse Pinkman's house. Anyway, but I'd like it in the Adirondacks, whereas my wife would like to be probably like in a warm colonial style house somewhere in the Carolinas or like Virginia or something like that.
Mm.
Warmth is essential for her.
That's fair.
But she has like a very classic aesthetic. So I think that's the kind of stuff that appeals to her.
Yeah.
So this is a problem. So we'll probably get divorced.
I think you'll just have to be snowbirds.
What? Oh, there's another option?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Seriously? Okay.
Yeah, you can have both.
We can have both. And then I live in one and she lives in the other?
If you choose, you can, yeah, alternate.
I really like her though.
I thought you wanted to be in the Catskills.
Adirondacks is...
Well, yeah, there's beef between the Catskill people and the Adirondacks.
Oh, without a doubt. So I would favor the Adirondacks for sure. The Catskills was sort of like me
accessible.
Trying... Well, it was me trying to compromise. And she's like, you're nowhere close. Yeah. So then I tried to compromise by going further to the Berkshires. And she's like, you're losing the plot.
Basic, yeah, the middle. It's the middle.
Yeah. It's like the Catirondacks.
Cute.
Anyway,
I spend a lot of time in all three.
Mm.
And I just think, why can't we be friends?
If you could only live in one, which would it be? I'm going to say Catskill. No.
What are the parameters of this?
You have Berkshires written all over you.
That's where I went to summer camp.
Jew camp.
Summer camp.
Okay.
So is that an acceptable stereotype?
See, that's one of the stereotypes.
Is that one not a stereotype? That's true. Is literally a Jewish affiliated camp. Like if we have like a banner in the gym that says like Jews loud here or whatever the acronym was. So
yeah, you have Berkshires written all over you. You really do. Yeah.
I'm in Great Barrington.
Well, I just feel like there's a lot of vegan shit near that would just be accessible to you, and you'd like a lot of farms and music, and it just you have such a Berkshire vibe.
Is Woodstock, what range is that? Because I'm just thinking there's two major animal sanctuaries upstate.
Okay.
We've got Woodstock. Actually, we have a listener who works at Woodstock Farm Sanctuary and emailed us once. I can't believe I never read on the show.
Seriously?
Yes. And they emailed me and we emailed back and forth and I was fangirling because I admire them so much. So if you're ever looking to support an animal organization, please support Woodstock Farm Sanctuary.
Wow.
There is a great farm sanctuary in the Catskills as well called Catskill Animal Sanctuary, but Woodstock can be our official farm sanctuary of the podcast.
Are we adopting that?
I mean,
can we just make something official?
I think she's adopted me. She has to confirm for us.
Okay.
So, but yeah.
We have an official bookstore.
We do. Yes. In Lindenville.
You're good. You're really good. Well done.
Well, bookstore Kim's my girl.
Yeah.
So I think this means that we have to go to Woodstock Farm Sanctuary together.
Okay. Boy, we have a lot of places to go.
Well, you've been promising
to
go to a Mets game with me for like 3 years now.
We have to go to a Mets game.
I feel like
this year, I think we should. We were going to save a lot of money.
As a company?
Going to the Mets game.
We're going to get
really good tickets for not a lot of money.
I see. I didn't know who was saving money. Us or like, we have money to spare. I wasn't sure what kind of joke you're making.
So my buddy...
It's only been like three games.
No, they're going to
calm down.
No. It's been more than that, and we're terrible. And the reason I know we're going to be bad is because, and I think I can say his name. So my buddy Joel, who I've talked about before, is one of my best friends in the world, tells me on opening day or the day before every single year what the Mets record will be. And he is so scary accurate with it. It's like... I should have been going to Vegas this whole time. It's unbelievable.
I think sports betting is legal now everywhere.
I think it is. You know what I mean. And so spoke to him the day before opening day and I said, okay, what do we got? He goes, losing season. That's all you need to know. We are not going to have a winning season. We are going to be sub 500. And it will be deliberate. And he's going to be shaking out the roster. He frees up $100 million next year in the offseason. And he will commit all or most of that. We have to be willing to let go of Pete Alonso. That may happen, which I don't have feelings about one way or the other. I don't know how you feel about that.
I we can't get rid of Syndergaard.
I'm so, this is so terrible. Talk about schadenfreude, but I'm so fulfilled that Jacob deGrom basically hasn't pitched since he left.
Sad.
I know, it's terrible. All right. Okay. All right, have your fucking fun.
Yeah, so...
I'm just going to let you just read these off.
I will. This is inspired. There's a podcast I listen to called The Weekly Planet. It's an Australian podcast. Shout out. I doubt you're listening, but I would love if you do. Hit me up. We'll be friends. And they do a segment called Hate Mail, but what do they call it? Hate Mail, but it's an eight, like H8 mail. They say it way funnier, and I'm blowing it.
You blew it.
So this is hate mail inspired by the Weekly Planet.
Okay.
So we released a YouTube video to correspond with our Project 2025 episode. And, you know, it took off. It hit some air and then it hit some turbulence in the comment section. You know, put your seatbelts back on. Buckle up. It's, you know, Hey, YouTube. That's all I got to say. It's, you know, hey, YouTube. So here we go. We've got, I omitted their names because I figure.
That's fine.
You know.
Might I just say that 99 put a call out to some of the unfuckers to be like, hey, get in the scrum here and get dirty.
Well, look, I mean, we can be open about how to goose juice, whichever oose word, the system.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, once you comment, it gets traction and more people see it. So we need that on all of our videos.
We really do.
But because this one is catching some tailwind, headwind,
which tailwind.
I'm trying to go with this metaphor.
Tailwind.
But I don't know enough about planes.
All right. We got a tailwind.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we need, we asked some unfuckers and they got in there. They're fighting back. But here are some of my favorites. Okay. In my opinion, this is a one-sided hit piece in favor of communism. And also with a lot of misinformation.
Oh.
In my opinion, this is BS and a pro-communism video.
Yay, go communism.
Communism is fine. Doesn't everyone realize it by now? We are communists.
Yes, hello. Like,
essentially. Okay, this is a good one. The evil here on Earth is an overload. Earth is going through a change. Has nothing to do with climate change. Earth is in process of going through a change of evolution. Will you stay in the 3D world of slavery control? That was, you know, we had all caps, no caps. Will you stay in the 3D world of slavery control and evil? Or are you going to shift to the new 5D world of love and peace and harmony?
Oh.
All truths are fixing to be exposed of our real reality here on Earth. You need to be prepared, people of Earth.
So, did they like the video?
I think so.
What happened to 4D?
No.
There's no,
we
go right
it.
Over that.
Well, 4D, it's like we can already understand, but you can't understand 5D. It's like too incomprehensible for you, plebeian.
You basically have to be Lucy. I like that movie a lot.
I was like, ball?
And I think that movie's problematic because I think it like really directly rips off like a Japanese version.
I'm sure it does,
right?
As we always do. I did not see it though.
It's, yeah.
Adding to the list of things.
Go ahead.
Okay. And here's, this one's short and sweet. He's made some false statements, and I disagree with most of what he is saying.
Well, thank you very much.
You look so convincing as you say that, like you actually believe this crap. Very entertaining. You sound a lot like Rachel Maddow.
Well, you're the same.
I wanted to know if you guys looked, you look a lot like Rachel Maddow, especially with the glasses.
Mm-hmm.
I could see it.
Yeah.
Sister from another mother? Sis mother?
I'm flattered. That's wonderful. She's really, she's bright. She's, lost a step.
She's a centrist.
She's a centrist.
But we take what we can get.
Yeah. I like how Rachel's capitalizing, Maddow's not.
Yeah. George Mason University, this one really, I was laughing out loud at this one. George Mason University is a far left gay haven institute. I work there. I know. Thank God I'm retired. Just like the rest of this, it's BS. Liberal propaganda.
Wow.
I want to go to a gay haven university. That sounds nice.
This is going to be super shocking for this person. But there are gay Republicans. There are gay conservatives.
Yeah, we have some in like Congress and Senate.
Yeah, yeah.
And also,
they're called log cabin Republicans.
Is that true?
Yeah.
What is that? What do you have to say about your log cabin?
You know, read into it what you like.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this one says ignorant, stupid, or evil.
Ignorant is misspelled,
of course,
for the record.
Ignorant.
I'm gonna say that I am more evil than stupid.
I think you're ignorant.
You think I'm ignorant?
I think you're ignorant. So the next one, you are clearly an agent of Satan.
Oh, that clears it up then.
Yeah. And this is the one that came in while we were recording that. Just, you know, really packs a punch. UNFTR Media, clown show.
Is this the way it was written, though? With the less than?
Well, it's an arrow. It's an arrow.
Oh, it's an arrow. It looks like it's I'm less than a clown show.
No,
the clown
speedy.
Clown show's greater than
well,
UNFTR.
It works both ways.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, those are some smattering. Go check it out yourself.
So fun.
And leave a comment. Make it unhinged.
We've never had
if
a viral
want.
Video before. And I wouldn't even call this viral, but for us, it's viral.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it. We got a bunch of likes on it, too. So go like it. Go comment. Say something weird. Say something weird. Really weird.
Just don't say something ignorant.
No, ignore. I think you'll ignore it. So that was my fun. I hope this happens more.
I'm glad this gives you life. It's nice.
Okay. It gives me life. How old are you?
Hey, thanks to some members here. We've got some new ones and we've got some others who are coming over, as always, from the Buy Me a Coffee platform. The
one day it'll be eliminated.
We're getting there. We're getting there. I think we're about a third of the way through, right?
Maybe a little more.
You think?
Yeah. I think so.
Okay.
Definitely down on the donations, though.
Oh, yeah. Hey.
Give us money.
Yeah, just give us money.
It's fine. Don't be ignorant.
So thank you to ORD Coffee Snob, Effing Blaine, Mariners Over Mets in 4. God, come on.
They know you.
Noah J., Jared F., and MVS for Wisconsin for becoming members.
Then we have Jay Bluzak, Cindy, Red Death, and Cody B.
Nice. So we got Tony Baloney, spelled like Balagna.
Isn't that? Oh, I suppose it is spelled the other way as well.
The Younger PDX Squatch. Hey, I know that person. Andy and Nicole F.
Good on catching your use of guy. Hey, I know that person. I said guys before and I didn't call it out, but sorry.
All right.
Sorry to all use guys.
Yeah, you use guys.
I dropped my fidget again.
You know what? I'm taking
no,
it away from you before tonight.
Don't. I'll bring my gummy bear squishy.
So we'll be back on in a couple of hours, but for you, it'll be a couple of days ago. For the members, at least, it'll be a couple of days ago talking to the great Nathan Robinson on our members only hang. I hope for those of you that are members that are hearing this, that you enjoyed that hang in the past. And I'm going to go further back into the space time continuum, meet 99 when she was little. And probably snuff her out in the crib, right, folks? I mean, that's kind of what needs to happen here, right? The whole trajectory of the world will change, and I will have been responsible for saving all of the white men over 75.
I do know that there's like a few people who wouldn't be vegetarian and vegan if I wasn't here. That's about my biggest contribution. So there's a lot more animals that would be dead.
Yeah, okay. That's fair.
Butterfly effect.
All right, so then I will not go and smother you in the crib.
Thank you.
But I will see you on the weekend after we've already seen each other again tonight, but in the past.
Yeah, I'm trying to think how old you would have been when I was in a crib. Like 80?
Oh, wow. Okay, see you next time on Fuckers.
Bye.
Hi, William Wallace.
Well, that's pretty good. Don't laugh.